In 1966, Time magazine asked, "Is God dead?" Now best-selling author Eric Metaxas takes that famous question and turns it around when he asks, "Is atheism dead?" In his bestseller titled, "Is Atheism Dead?" Metaxas offers a provocative answer as he shows atheism to be not only implausible and intellectually sloppy, but also demonstrably ridiculous. Get your copy of "Is Atheism Dead?" available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this March 27th, 2023. And I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, the message, the title of the message is A Biblical Response to Corrupt Government and Society. And the reason for this message is people are very unsure nowadays, and they're anxious about how to respond to corruption in high places. You know, we don't want to be like them. We don't want to. But corruption is there, and there's a lot of misinformation, and we hold exactly to, literally, to the Word of God. And the Word of God doesn't stutter. It tells you exactly how we are to respond to corrupt government. And so here tonight, and I always say the very good start, something that really works, if people would only believe it. See, it works in the past. It really does work. But you got to use it. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells you when God's people come before him and repent of their sin, and they call upon his name. We've had something called revivals several times. It works if people will only do it. But the vast majority of people are biblically illiterate, and they're clueless. And so we're living in a very corrupt society. But tonight we're going to start in Psalm chapter 2. But we're going to do something a little different tonight than I haven't done in probably a couple of years. And I'm going to take phone calls during the message, but only pertaining to the scripture, only pertaining to the scripture that we're covering. You know, that's the only phone calls we have. And I've got Craig on the phone lines, and boy, if you call him with anything else, he's really going to get at you. He's really going to get you. So if you're going to call in, only call in with pertaining to the scripture. So we start now in Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Well, here today, the more things change, the more they stay the same in so many ways. There's nothing new under the sun. Today, our heathen here in our country, in America today, we see the what is called the woke progressives or the deep state. the LGBTQ, Planned Parenthood, and NARAL, the mainstream media, the entire Antichrist Democratic Communist Collective, and then the nations of the earth, and a great convocation of its leaders come together, and they plan a united rebellion against God and the Lord Jesus Christ and His anointed, the church. So here we see that because we're living in the midst, we're living literally in the midst of the completion of the scripture that we're reading right now. We're living right in the midst of that, and I think it's coming to an end soon. We see world leaders such as Klaus Schwab and George Soros and Bill Gates, Obama, Joe Obama, along with a real unholy host of other, including the Pope, trying once again to erect a global Tower of Babylon. As we look through this, it says, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, they're talking about getting rid, if you will, of the church, eliminating the church today. Of course, in that day, he was referring to the enemies of Israel. "But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have..." Now listen to this, because what you have here, you've got the Father gives the decree to the Son, and the Son declares this decree. He says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine heritage, or that inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So, again, here, just think of all of the pain, that the corrupt politicians, the corrupt judges, the corrupt media, the corporate woke whores, and especially the worst of all of these, there's different degrees of torment in hell, and the worst of all of those are the religious leaders, the false religious leaders, you see, because there's a minority on our side, those that are saved, those that are born again believers, the body of Christ, the church. We're a minority, and we understand the times we're living in. We understand what we just read here. On the opposition, there's a minority, like the people we just talked about here, leaders like Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bill Gates. They openly reject God. They know what the Word of God has said, and they openly reject God. They have proclaimed their allegiance to Satan, and they have proclaimed themselves with pride that they too will be gods. And so here now, right in the middle, the greatest majority of people are completely clueless. They don't have a clue about. They know things are not right, things are not good, but they got no idea why. Because of biblical literates. And Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge." Well, we're going to go to take a look at here some dispensations. Now, the Bible speaks of seven major dispensation periods. First is innocence. The second is conscience. The third is human government. The fourth is promise. The fifth is the law, the dispensation of the law. The sixth is the dispensation of the church age. And the seventh is the millennial kingdom. Now, out of all of these, they all have a purpose. God has a purpose with them. And he's got a start and a finish, except for number three, the human government, the Noahic covenant. Now, that had a start, and that started when Noah left the ark, But it is the only dispensation period that spans all of the others. It spans all of the other dispensation periods for perpetual generations. And we see this if we go to, oh, by the way, I didn't give the phone number out. I said we opened the phone lines. If you want to call in, and like I said, the question's got to pertain to the scriptures. It's 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 9. And we're going to take a look at, again, this is the third of the dispensations. And this would be the Noahic covenant, or the dispensation of divine human government. And in this, God gives us 5 points. The first one is to whom it was given. The second point was the intent. The third is the purpose. The fourth was the means by which man would govern for God. And the fifth was the result of those nations in compliance. So let's start tonight. Now, we're only going to deal with two of them, the third and the sixth. And that would be the dispensation of human government and the dispensation of the church age. And we start in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Well, no, actually, I want to start with the first point. The first point was, to whom it was given. Who did God make this covenant with? And we start that in verses 9. Well, actually, verse 8 and of Genesis 9. And God spake unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And so he says, And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. So God made this covenant with all living creatures, and it was for perpetual generations. And it's so expanded all of the other dispensation periods. And so, now that was the first point, to whom it was given, to whom it was given. The second point was the intent of divine human government. And that's given to you in verses 1 through 4. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as every green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. So This was for the first time humans were given divine permission to eat animal flesh. Initially, they weren't. Okay, they had to be vegetarians. And of course, obviously, the reason for the change was due to the greater need for animal protein in man's diet in view of the nutrient impoverished soils of the post-flood world, if you would, and a much more rigorous climate conditions. The second reason may have been to emphasize the great gulf between man and the animals. And so here, going back to when he made the point that he would set his bow in the sky in verse 13, I forgot to comment on that. When he said, I will set my bow in the sky in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Well, he's referring to the rainbow, and the rainbow is spoken of four times in Scripture. You find it here in Genesis chapter 9, you find it in Ezekiel chapter 1, you find it in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 10, and always speaks of first judgment, and here in Genesis we see the judgment was God destroyed 8 billion people. 8 billion would it be? And mercy. Now, the mercy part was God spared 8 people. So he destroyed 8 billion and he spared 8. And here, again, we see that in every case, it's judgment first and then mercy. Judgment first and then mercy. And so now, going back, we read here, verses 1 through 4, the intent was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. And so here, he also says in verse 4, and the flesh and the life thereof, which is in the blood, therefore shall you not eat. Now, here, it's a very, very profoundly scientific truth that the life of the flesh is in the blood, okay? Now, that's mentioned many times here in Scripture. See, Leviticus 17:11, in fact. This is as well, it's the principles of an Edenic mandate, if you will. Why? Well, the blood is both the symbol and the reality in the life of the flesh. Of course, we know that it was the appropriate to offer in a sacrifice until the offerings of Christ, that is, but never consume either as food or as a religious ritual, and that still holds till today. That holds to today. And so now the third point is the most important point. The third point was the purpose, the entire purpose of divine human government. The entire purpose we find here in verses 5 through 7. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So we see here the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. Now, God gave man dominion over the environment, kept dominion of man for himself. And that's, of course, where you get the statute of the death penalty. And so here, as far as this here, I'm in total agreement with the statute of the death penalty here in Genesis 9, but I'm totally in disagreement here in the state of Ohio. I've sat by many inmates with being upon death row for 45 years, ministering, who were executed, and a number of those guys were innocent. You would really be surprised. You'd be absolutely be surprised to find out how many innocent people are in prison. You know, for the crimes that they were charged with. Our judicial system and our The Department of Corrections, unfortunately, has really been corrupted, folks. It has really been corrupted. Believe me, I know. I spent so many years there ministering. Now, don't get me wrong. We have some good people that work in the Department of Corrections. I knew some very good people that worked there. But unfortunately, it's just like other institutions, like the FBI or the Department of Justice or the CIA. The fish rots from the head down. And that's unfortunately what has happened. And so the fourth point of the divine institution of human government, now what we're talking about is legitimate. This is the real thing. The fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God. And so he gives you these. And if we go over to Psalm 119. Now, actually, the entire psalm, but I don't have time to do that tonight because it's the largest chapter in the Bible, but verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that seek his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all the commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned the righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not utterly. Here, the law of the Lord, there's a word for that, and in the Hebrew, that word is Torah. That's what it means, the law of the Lord, Torah. And here, when we refer to verse 2, when it says, blessed are they that keep thy testimonies, edah, In the Hebrew, that's the word for testimonies. And so now, I want to go back and look at the fifth point. Now, the fifth point, we go back to Genesis 9. And the fifth point was, those nations that were in compliance with points 1 through 4, will be at peace and not at war with God. And we pick that up in verse 15. And I will remember my covenants, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become flood to destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And so here we see where we got the divine institution of human government. About 3 years ago, I went to Liberty University in Virginia, and I spoke there, and they asked, and well, actually, I spoke to 250 county sheriffs. And they wanted to know about where did we get the institution of human government? Where did we get it? Where did it come from? And, well, it's right here in the book of law. That's God's word. This King James Bible is the book of law. And so here I want to go over to one of the best-known passages in Scripture, and that's Romans 13. And in Romans chapter 13, this is one of those passages that gets twisted and spun and perverted, and most of it due to a lack of courage more than actually a lack of understanding. Now, here, this Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, it means exactly what it says. It means exactly what it says. without taking it and twisting it and spending. And it starts off by saying, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay, so a lot of those, this New Age, the perversions of that have changed to government. Let every soul be subject to government. For there is no power but of God. Well, the higher power is God, not government, folks. And the powers that be ordained of God. And so here, what does that mean? It means that they've been set aside and sanctified by God for a particular purpose. What are we talking about? Well, when he's talking about these powers, here is what God is saying to the nations. This is what God is saying to the nations. Look, whether you're a mayor, a police chief, a governor, a president, whatever, you are required to be in compliance with his law. He is the lawmaker. He has given us the divine institution of human government and the law. And so when you're in compliance with God's law, then you are legitimate. And then you have authority. If you're not in compliance with God's law, well, remember what I read, the last verse that I read over there in Genesis 9, where it says, be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's the third time that was said. In other words, God has commanded that people get fruitful and we have children and we procreate. Well, our government says, no, you don't want to kill babies. Kill them. Kill the elderly out there. We have an extremely corrupt government. It is extremely, it's illegitimate. It has no legitimacy. It has power, but no authority. No legitimate authority at all. See, therefore, you are not obligated. You're not an obligated in any way to have to legitimize this government that we have. In other words, you don't have to give any legitimacy to the Justice Department. It's totally corrupt. It is completely corrupted. You give no legitimacy at all to Obama, Biden, and the White House. In fact, as we go through here, we'll see that the Word of God makes it clear it's a sin to legitimize and to honor the dishonorable. And so he goes on to say, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they which resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, again, the ordinances of God, the ordinances of God, it means God's law, God's law. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Well, you say, well, how do we know what's good? Well, the God, we just told you that it was very clear when it was referred to what is good. And that is God's statutes, God's laws, God's testimonies, God's precepts, God's commandments, etc. Just read 119th Psalm, and that's it. That's good. And he said, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Say, well, wait a minute. You know, you get arrested for praying at the school or praying at a football game or whatever. They're arresting Christians for praying out in front of the abortion mills. Not legitimate cops. Literally, those cops that arrest Christians for praying in front of an abortion mill are whores. The Bible refers to those that sell themselves for reward, that sell, you know, as whores, not just females, but in fact, actually it refers to those in religious authority as whores more than even the females in the Bible. And he says here, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So he's talking about legitimate. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, you'll notice that in the New Age perversions of the Bible, many of those have changed that word to minister to servant, for he is the servant. Well, you say, well, I mean, can a minister be a servant? And yeah, they can. And a servant a minister? Well, yeah. If you're a minister, you are a servant. So what's the difference? Well, here's the difference, okay? You can have to be a servant. You know, the jackass that spoke to Balak was a servant. The demons that were cast out, God uses demons have to do God's will, can be servants. The lying spirit he said to Ahab was a servant. But it's different to be a minister. Now, you see, a minister has to be one that is ordained of God. For he is the minister of God for thee, for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. And so, again, as we see, the evil is in opposition to the word of God. So when you have, if you have a government that's in compliance, as long as it's in compliance with God's word, it is God's word, you see. If it's compliance with God's law, it is God's law. And that's where we're to be obedient to that. But if it's not in compliance, if we look at, say, the so-called government here in America today, which has been reduced, it has fallen, it has been so corrupted, so very, very corrupted, we see, again, instead of following God's word, by Genesis chapter 9, verse 7, it's the third time the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This corrupt government that we have, a very corrupt government, says, no, kill babies, okay? We have a wicked Satanist right in the White House, and not only do you have no obligation to recognize him or his authority, but it would be a sin to do, for he's illegitimate. Now, and it's the same thing for the Justice Department, the FBI, they have all gone bad. And so he goes here to say, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sakes. Here, and so the word sake, that means because of, he tells you also over there in Peter that you obey a government for the Lord's sakes. In other words, because of the Lord is what he's referring to. You obey it when it's in compliance with God's law. With God's law. Now, unfortunately today, you have a lot of prissy preachers that simply don't have the courage to preach the word of God the way it's written. They don't, because they may have a 501c3 they're afraid of losing. And I've had many of them tell me, they come to me and told me secretly, you know, I agree with everything you're saying, but I tell you what, it takes more guts than I have to do that, to say what you're saying. I agree with you, but you know, you're setting yourself up. You go ahead and say that, you're liable to get arrested. Well, let me tell you. Remember what Peter and the apostles said? We must obey God rather than man. We're to be a watchman on the wall. We're to tell the truth. And these guys, with their lips, they tell you they fear God, but with their actions, they show you they fear government more. I want to go over to Proverbs chapter 24. And in Proverbs chapter 24, we read here, starting with verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord, and the king. Now remember this, you know, when this was written, the King David you had there in Solomon, Kings. And here again, my son, fear the Lord and the king. The king that we fear today, as far as we're concerned, there is no king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. The only king we recognize is King Jesus. And meddle not with them that are given to change. Remember how when Obama came, hope and change, hope and change? Folks, I'm going to tell you, the change that he was referring to is from the Word of God. Okay, the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not kill. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It's a divine institution. And so the very first divine institution that God gave us during the time of innocence, during the time, the dispensation of innocence, was marriage in the family. And when he gave us the institution, it was very, very clear. The definition was there. Marriage is between one man, one woman, and God. And the idea was that they're married in God, and they become one flesh in God. And today people don't take, they don't take God seriously at all. I mean, this world is not taking God seriously at all. And we're I think, very soon, fairly soon, going to see God's response to that. And folks, this is why, you know, I said what we need. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This country needs 2 Chronicles 7:14 in the worst way. And then he says, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. In judgment. And so what is he talking about having Look, if there's somebody out there that you know, hey, this guy, I might need him. You know, he's a friend of mine. You know, maybe I have a problem with driving, getting speeding tickets, or maybe have a problem with alcohol. And it's good to know the police chief in case I get stopped here or here. If I just happen to make a big enough donation to this congressman's campaign, maybe I can get some zoning changed in my property for me. The point is, maybe someday I want this guy to be, I want the benefits of friends here. So even though this man is wicked, even though this man is corrupt, I'll give him, at least I'll give him lip service, okay? And what is he saying here? These things belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect to persons in judgment. He that saith to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall people curse, nations shall abhor him. Him shall people curse and nations. Well, what do? When you vote for a wicked person, when you vote for a wicked person, what are you saying? You're telling that person in your eyes you see him as righteous. Folks, let me tell you something. God notices these things. God created the eyes. He sees what you're doing, okay? He created the ear. He hears what you're doing. And check this out. You say, well, yeah, I know. But, folks, you know, come on. We really don't take God seriously. Here's your problem. God takes God seriously, and because he does, you are in big trouble, folks. You know, there's a lot of woes for you out there that decide, well, I don't have to obey God. You know, it's I don't see him around anymore. Maybe he's gone away or something, folks. And he goes on to say here, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon him. Every man shall kiss the lips that giveth the right answer. So what is he telling you? He's telling you it's a sin. It's a sin to refer to the wicked as righteous. Let me turn. I want to go over to Proverbs 17 now. And in Proverbs 17, I'm going to take a quick sip of water here. In Proverbs 17, we read in verse 15, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they are both abominations to the Lord." Now I want you to think about that for a minute. They're an abomination to the Lord. And what that means is they're repulsive to God. Now, the very first time that word is mentioned in Scripture is to describe a sodomite. Now, for you folks that don't understand what the word sodomite means, is what LGBTQ. In other words, God says they're repulsive to him. This is not a good thing, to be repulsed to God. Now, if you think about this here, think about January 6, 2021. Let me read this again. "He that justified the wicked, he that commended the just, commendeth the just, condemneth the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord." That's exactly what they did on January 6th, that January 6th committee. What they justified the wicked, being themselves wicked to the bone. I mean, wicked completely and totally. I'm going to stop there just for 1 minute and just remind you that I am will take some phone calls that pertain to the scripture here that we're going through. If you have any questions on how we as people today, as Christians, deal with and respond to the very corrupt society that we live in and the corrupt government. This is God's word. The Bible doesn't stutter. It's very clear. I want to go to verse, you can call. You can call in tonight and just keep your call and your comment, on the topic. And the phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment. Now, verse 23, we read this. "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." And so here we see this. Oh, there were 130 accounts of wrongdoing where it come to influence peddling, selling the White House influence. There's 130 different inquiries with Joe Obama on influence peddling. In other words, like what Hillary did with the Russia thing, which she did with Uranium One, how they're selling America out for money, and I mean large amounts of money. And speaking of Joe Biden, Joe Biden's got a son named Hunter, and well, let me read Proverbs 25. "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him." I got a feeling that Hunter and his laptop, that Joe Obama, Biden, wish he never heard of Hunter's laptop, okay? And so all of that, the big guy, that is, the big guy. And then I want to go and over to Exodus chapter 23 in Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 23, we read, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, what can I say? The mainstream media, what can I say? A false report. By the way, if you've noticed, I've been listening to the last couple, especially, well, I wasn't able to hear all of it, but Donald Trump's, where he was speaking in Texas at his rally. And, I mean, huge crowds turn out. And Trump went through a litany. He listed all of the different false charges that they brought against him. And how one by one, every one of those false charges were shown to be exactly that, false. And he named them one by one by one. And when he got to the end of naming them, he said, "I, right now, am the most innocent man in the whole United States," because he was found innocent of all of those false charges. And so here now, we read, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many rest judgment." And so, he's talking about mobocracy. Mobocracy, what we have out there today. Again, boy, everybody's out there for handouts. Everybody wants handouts, you know. Everybody wants the free stuff. And, you know, folks, this is socialism, is mobocracy, communism is. Margaret Thatcher got it exactly right when she said, "Socialism's fine until you run out of other people's money." And that's exactly what it's all about. It's other people's money. In other words, those that are working end up supporting those that refuse to work. And so here, this next verse kind of explains something too. "Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause." Listen. "Neither shall thou countenance a poor man in his cause." Well, although believers are frequently, we're exhorted to help the poor. They are not to be favored judicially, is what he's saying, in a dispute merely because they're poor, right? This is what he's saying, that, how do we have that to deal with? Well, let me tell you how. We have 5 million illegal aliens. 5 million illegal aliens, they get judicial preference over us. They trespass, they squat on people's property, they break into people's homes, and they get sent back, and they come back, they do it again. They do it again. They smuggle all kinds of lethal drugs across the border. They come in, and they're put up with taxpayers' money. They put up in nice hotels. They're giving phones. They're giving cell phones. They're in New York. They want to give illegal aliens free college tuition. Not to the people, not to the taxpayers, not to the people that are paying for it. And so this again, when it says that, "Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause." Those people they paid $15 an hour to burn, loot, and murder. Antifa. They paid them $15 an hour to go out. So what happens to Antifa? Antifa, they get bailed out of jail right away and told to go back out and burn, loot, and murder some more. But Christian pro-lifers, because of an Antichrist, Chris Ray, Antichrist, Chris Ray, Antichrist, Merrick Garland, Antichrist, Joe Obama, Biden, Christians who go out, they get arrested, they get harassed by the very, very corrupt. So it's nowhere even close to being in any kind of fairness there at all. "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his hast gone astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou shalt see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under the burden, thou wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Okay. He's referring about refraining from helping him. Verse 6. Thou shalt not arrest the judgment of thy poor in this cause. In other words, don't pervert the judgment of the poor. Not to pervert it, not to change it, not to pervert it in this cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Well, boy, again, there you go. The whole Democratic Communist Party, the entire Democratic Communist Party. Keep thee far from the false matter, the innocent and the righteous slay them not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift of the, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Means taking bribes, right? Do you notice how all of these politicians, they come into office and they're, you know, they're well-to-do, but they're not millionaires, multimillionaires. And people like Nancy Pelosi, all of a sudden they become worth $350 million. What's he talking about? Taking bribes, folks. Taking gifts. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Okay, we're going to go take Steve in Cleveland. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Very good tonight. You said, like, false witness, prisoners, and was that on Proverbs chapter 17? I kind of missed that on what you were talking about.
No, Proverbs chapter 17 was referring to those that... They call the wicked righteous, not to refer to the wicked as good or dishonorable men as honorable men.
Well, like good is evil and evil is good.
Right.
And in talking with the prisoners, you know, in Washington there, you know, the haven't seen their families for 2 years, no bail or anything like that. What chapter does that go under as far as what you were talking about?
That's Proverbs chapter 24. But let me take you back to, because what that really refers to, if we go back to Romans chapter 13, and in Romans chapter 13, I never did finish that chapter, I notice here. He says, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sakes. In other words, you want to be obedient to the word of God, to God's laws, not just because you're afraid of God's wrath, but because you love God, because you want to obey God, you want to please God. For this cause, pay tribute. Now listen carefully, because it means exactly what it says. For this cause, pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continue upon this thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. To whom it's due, okay? Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due, okay? So, as like I said, it tells you in those passages, which over there, Proverbs, again, verses, Proverbs 17, verse 15, It's a sin. And then in Proverbs 24, it tells you, let a man who calls the wicked righteous, those that give honor and legitimacy to the illegitimate and dishonorable, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. And yet, we're told every day by preachers out there that fear the government. They'll tell you how with their lips they fear God, but with their actions they show you they fear government more. And so,
you know, go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, God has absolutes. There's absolute rights and there's absolute wrong out there, and people don't want to hear that today. But go ahead and say what you were going to say.
everything you just mentioned was so much of what Larry Nichols used to talk about, how he used to be, and then when he met you, and how he changed, you know, through, you know, just the years I was listening to him. And when he was in the coma, I don't know what it was, but he was on your show. I remember hearing him the one time, and he sounded great, and he passed away a week or two later. But just about everything you just said was about everything that Larry Nichols, what he would said his life was, and how he changed, and what he saw, and how things became, you know, what it just how the false witness, how Washington got corrupt, how the lies become the truth, and no one will even know what the truth is anymore. And you just put it together so good, and how you break it up. I don't think we got enough time in an hour or 2 hours sometimes for you to actually just kind of really bear down on something like that, because maybe people can understand how you explain that. Because that was well said, and I understand what you're saying. Just how everything just gets changed, and just for 2 years of prisoners, and no one says anything about what is true or what isn't. We just leave you alone and don't talk about it, and we'll do other things. And it's Proverbs chapter 24.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, people don't realize there, Steve, God gave us the book of law. He said he would preserve that, and he's done exactly that. No matter how many, there's over 200 different perversions. They got to try to get rid of God's word. Yet, even though that's happening, the King James Bible is still the best-selling book in the world. Okay, why? It's an authorized book of law. It's an authorized. You say, well, what sovereign nation authorized that? It's the only Bible that is an authorized book of law, and that was King James of England, okay? And so here, this is what we have to go by. It's exact, it's perfect, and yet, and it's way ahead of its time. God's Word, the Bible, as you hear people talk about the Constitution being a living, breathing document, it's not. But the Bible is, because as you go through this word, you know, for the last 2,000 years, you see things that have been there all along, but we didn't recognize it until that prophecy came into fruition, and it was filled before our eyes, and then we understood, oh my gosh. And I wish I could go back, and most of those fellows are probably not with us anymore. But years ago, I used to have a group of nuclear physicists who would come on, talk about different dimensions, and they would talk about how how God's Word, the Bible, is so far ahead of its time, and how things that they realize now, science was spoken of, and now we're just starting to understand them. But I'm out of time for tonight, my friend.
Thank you, sir. God bless you for what you do.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. Folks, again, the Word of God is for real. Jesus made it clear, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. This is reality. This is what you can hold on to. And this is what we keep trying to get across, because you're seeing the culmination where I started out there in Psalms chapter 2. That is exactly what is happening today in a greater degree than ever throughout history. And I believe that we're coming because of all of the prophecy that's fulfilled to the end of that. So this is the time right now. It's now or never. You need to call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. So we're out of time for tonight. So as I say every night at this time, good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.